Jam! Hello again, and welcome to Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. This is the first Monday Night Magic of 2017, and it is number 543. Jam!
Officially not a small number.
Demonstrably. Maybe not. I guess compared to some things, it's a really small number. But then compared to other things, like my bank account, it's a massive number. Yay, 543. I am Chewy.
Hi, Chewy.
Hi. Hey, buddy. Clues is excited to be back because he hasn't been here in like a month.
I have been away for so very long.
And, oh, that's Clues, by the way, everyone.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Clues.
And then that other voice is Squee, who I actually got to see face to face, last week?
As promised, in 3D.
He was, too. I had him turn to the side and everything.
You know, I don't think he would have been if he would have worn an eye patch.
Yar.
Depth perception is more than just two eyes. I would have just moved a lot and he would have figured it out.
He's not wrong.
That's what makes you laugh.
It was the picture in my mind of Chewie with an eye patch on, but he's constantly bobbing and weaving his head back and forth like a pigeon to try and figure out where you are in space.
Oh, well, you know.
See?
That would be pretty funny.
It's funny, isn't it?
And oddly enough, the whole time I was doing that, I was going, is weird.
Well, you just did that so that you didn't look out of place with the pigeons.
Oh, that must be it. Yeah.
Master of disguise.
Then I pooped on whatever I happened to be standing on.
Just don't disguise yourself as a cheeseburger.
That never ends well.
Dear listeners, we are here in 2017. We have survived the transition, however briefly.
For now.
And we are back to bring you the news, I guess. Like, I didn't want to take another week off, but like nothing happened.
Yeah, we don't even have any dead planeswalkers to talk about.
It's disgusting. We don't even have Magic Online news. That's how much nothing happened. We're recording this.
I can't even dig up like a dead Tybalt to show you. Like there's just nothing.
We're recording on Tuesday and we don't even have Magic Online news.
Aw, spoilers.
Yeah, the hope was that, you know, aside from our own scheduling things, that maybe by Tuesday more stuff would have come out since, you know, we've had a few weeks of nothing really going on due to the holidays. And then, you know, the first day back after New Year's, a lot of people, because it was Sunday, maybe didn't go to work on Monday. So we thought, okay, well, fine. Tuesday, they'll drop something. And really, we've got like an article. And
there's a ridiculous mess of preview cards because we only get 1 week of previews.
Yeah. So let's go over all the tournaments that happened. Yeah. All right. Cool. Let's move on.
That was fun. Yeah.
That was the best thing ever. I loved it. It wasn't even limited.
Listen, before we go any further, I just want to mention that since you did bring up Dead Tybalt, I thought, hey, I'll just search for Dead Tybalt. If you do search for Dead Tybalt, you can get some MTG references. Or at least I do.
Because Google, for Romeo and Juliet?
I was going to say, because Google knows my search history. But if I click on images, they are all images from Romeo and Juliet. I don't know what I was expecting, but there we go.
Oh, that's because it says showing results for Dead Tybalt with a Y.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So if I click search instead for that, I just get
Tybalt.
I just get pictures of Tybalt and various other cards.
Sadly not dead.
Yeah.
He's dead on the inside. Some feet and blood and nonsense.
Plague of,
I mean, how bad must you feel when you're like one of the worst cards ever printed in the Planeswalker category and you have a dual deck against one of the better Sorns? Like, what are you going to do?
Oh, wait, I just screwed that up. A Plague of Both Your Houses was Mercutio, wasn't it?
Yeah, because that was in response to Tybalt dying.
Yeah.
Tybalt dying was, in fact, at the bottom of the stack.
Which, if you have priority, feel free to respond to Tybalt dying.
All right, there's a link in the show notes, dear viewers.
This looks like a dramatic reenactment.
It does. It's pretty funny. It's the I hate to say it. It's the Tumblr link.
Ooh.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, that's where you're going to find Tybalt.
But yeah, exactly. Huh. Okay, so news, right. Let's move on.
We are professionals. We can hold it together.
We totally can. So,
stay on target.
Should we go chronologically? Because on Christmas Eve, they dropped the inventions from Aether Revolt on us.
Oh, sure. Let's go chronologically.
Okay, then. So that
the Masterpiece series.
Yes, the Masterpiece series Aether Revolt inventions were, let's say, pooped out onto the website on December 24th.
Well, let's see. The whole concept of these things is that they're essentially just invented by people in Kaladesh and showing them off at the, you know, Inventors Fair, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So these were dug out of someone's closet, shoved in the back of whatever they were driving. Let's say that Rhino train. And then they just drop them out on a blanket at the local market going, hey, check out this cool thing I have. No, you can't have it. It's rare. They're only looking for trades and they want more than they're worth.
And these are really cool.
The cards are good. I like the art.
I had several people ask me about them, like, hey, what do you think? Like, did you think anything was missing? And I went, I don't know.
In the grand scheme of amazing artifacts that have ever been printed?
Yeah, I mean, it was Christmas Eve and I was at the parents' house, and the only reason I looked is because someone sent me a link and I scrolled through it once and said, cool. And that's honestly the last time I looked at it until today. So,
hey, wait, I know what's missing.
Numbers, which ones were they? Hang on, 43 and 45?
No, this is the opportunity for the listener at home to shout whatever card it is that they're thinking of, because I have no idea.
Trading Post. Wait.
Wait. Hold on. Ornithop. No, there it is.
have they done a Goblin Charbelcher yet?
Ooh, that would be pretty good.
Belcher.
So real quick, we're going to run through the list and,
in pseudo alphabetical order.
In pseudo, yeah, this is very weird. I'm guessing these last two weren't here originally is the only thing I can think of. So, we have Arcbound Ravager to kick it off, that's in, that's not in Modern, right? That's banned in Modern. Is it?
Ravager?
Yeah.
I don't remember which affinity cards they banned.
I don't either.
Well, you guys continue. I'll find out.
Control of Ravager. Standard. Yeah, thanks.
It was in Modern Masters.
It's in Mirrodin. Okay, so that one it's legal, but the rest of the... Okay, never mind.
It's banned in Mirrodin Block.
Obviously.
Yeah.
See, a Ravager is not a problem.
Ravager's not a problem. We have Black Vise. Ooh. Which is used in Legacy a little bit in that one deck?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
It's that one deck that your friend brings to the table and suddenly the world is pain.
That's the one, yeah. Then we have Chalice of the Void, which is big in Legacy.
Oh, goodness, yes.
And in Vintage. In Vintage. And is it a thing in Modern? I can never remember. It's so big in Legacy that I can never remember if it actually exists in Modern.
I don't know.
We've also had a month off, so everybody back off.
We'll just start saying things that we know are wrong if it makes you feel better.
Yeah, Defense Grid, which is huge in Standard right now.
Is the best. It's for those aggro decks that don't want people casting things. Nothing says aggro like Defense Grid. I, for one, run it in my standard Abzan deck. With Tybalt.
Okay, all right. We have Duplicant.
Imprint.
Yeah, that one. I know that's huge in Commander, at least it used to be. We have Engineered Explosives, which is big in basically all the formats that it's legal in.
Kabam!
No, that's a different card. That's a spell.
That's fair.
We have Ensnaring Bridge.
Also a Legacy staple.
Yep. And Extraplanar Lens. Look at that. Wow. We have Grindstone. Oh my god. Did we get Painter's Servant?
Man, I think they finally have one that I kind of want. Look at it. It's so pretty.
It really, I mean, they're all really pretty. The Meek Stone. the Oblivion Stone, you know, because you need more stones.
Fate counters.
Rock, rock.
You have Ornithopter, which I don't know why. That one I just thought was adorable and hilarious when I first saw that.
I mean, it's the best ninja ever, right?
It's a pretty good ninja. For those that don't know, look up what ninjutsu does in magic. You have the Sphere of Resistance, which looks a lot different than the original. Everyone playing at home, look up the original art for Sphere of Resistance. No, that's not the original art. Oh, it is the original art. And note the goblins. See, we're missing goblins in this art, therefore it's terrible. Right, Clues?
That's right. Everything needs more goblins.
We have the Staff of Domination, the obnoxious infinite whatever generator thing. The Sundering Titan, which is truly horrible to play against in every way. You have your other two swords that were missing from the Kaladesh masterpieces, the Sword of Body and Mind and the Sword of War and Peace. Those are also extremely pretty. Yeah. You have the Trinisphere because, you know, clearly you're not swearing enough.
Everything's got to cost at least three.
Exactly. Vidalkin Shackles because gimme that. Wormcoil Engine because artifact. And then the other two that I assume were not originally on this list and were added later, Platinum Angel and Pithing Needle. And there you go. So we're missing...
We're missing two of them. Like, I can. There are pictures of them online, but I can't find sources, so we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah. And my guess is that they are from this set, so that would be why they're not here, because they haven't been previewed yet. Sort of like the Gear Hulks in Kaladesh were also masterpieces or inventions or whatever. Are we sure that they're just two missing?
Based on the set numbers, yes.
I mean, what happens after 54. So what happens before 31?
That was all of the ones in Kaladesh.
Oh, right. Okay, so it's...
Kaladesh had 30, this one has 24.
Yeah, unified numbering.
Oh, across both sets. Got it. Neat. Ugh. Try not to scroll past the art on duplicate and only partially look at it, because it's really creepy. Anyway, so there you go. There are your, most of your masterpieces from Aether Revolt. Once the other two are official, I'm sure we'll talk about them next week, because there's only one set of previews, or 1 week of previews, which means we'll have the whole set Friday.
Huzzah!
Sounds about right.
And perhaps never-ending preview season will finally end for a minute. Yay. So let us know what's missing and why, if you think something is missing. And by all means, if you're just going to complain about the awesome things that Wizards is doing that they don't need to do, please do that on Reddit or on Twitter, but not at us.
I mean, I will point out that I wish Stuffy Doll was here.
I wish Creepy Doll was here.
Well, it always follows you.
Always. Ruined Nine.
I love that song.
It's a good one. And yeah, as mentioned, we're well aware that you all know what the two missing cards are. We're just not saying them because we can't find an official source. So you don't have to tell us that part.
Yeah. Yeah, I've already seen the names and went, oh, I don't recognize those. So there you go.
Yeah.
But we stick with the official nonsense here on Monday Night Magic, because unofficial nonsense is a large pain in the ass.
And it gets you suspended.
Yeah.
Life o' crime.
It gets you ridiculed for the rest of forever by some jackasses on a podcast.
The worst. So do we want to talk about the official spoilers?
Yeah, we should hit the mechanics.
Sure.
Okay.
Because to be perfectly honest, I have not looked at these because I have had all kinds of things going on since... basically since Christmas, so.
Sure.
This'll be fun.
Let's take a look at the mechanics. Brought to you by Matt Tabak.
He's a giant rules manager of a man.
You could have stopped that with giant.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you were just
that's his creature type, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's his race. He's a giant ruler.
He's like a giant judge.
Ah, I see. So we're giving him both the race and the occupation. So
yeah, he you got to give him the race and class. Come on, man.
Sure.
He's okay, also legendary.
Very true. Rules manager is hyphenated, by the way. That's how it's a singular creature type.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is revolt?
It's revolting. I mean, no, it's not.
Ew.
It's perfectly fine. Hey, you remember how we used to have back in the Innistrad days, we had all kinds of stuff that happened when stuff died?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that, only it's any permanent.
If any permanent dies?
Yeah, well, it's not even dies. It's even more general than that. It's if any permanent left the battlefield. So, okay, so here's how it goes. Revolt is, I think revolt may technically be an ability word, not a keyword, but there are a bunch of cards that have revolt, and if they've got revolt, if a permanent you controlled left the battlefield this turn, something else happens. So it might be on a creature, might be on an instant, it might be a triggered ability, it might be a replacement effect, it's
which
all
is why it would be an ability word.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the big example of this that I have seen is Fatal Push.
Oh, yes, that's
good
quite
lord, hard. This card. I was at the dealership last night, waiting on stuff to be ready so I could do a late quick drive. And the salesman there who plays Magic, has like, hey man, have you seen any of the Aether Revolt cards? I was like, I've seen a couple, but I haven't really been paying much attention just yet. He said, did you see this one? And he pointed at Fatal Push. And I went, yeah, I saw that one. So for a single black, it's an uncommon instant. It says, destroy target creature if it has converted mana cost two or less, which is, I always get these confused. Is that Smother? Hang on. Those cards came out when I wasn't playing. I think that's Smother
is three or less, and it can't be regenerated.
Okay, so this is a slightly less Smother, but it has Revolt, and you destroy that creature if it has converted mana cost four or less instead, if a permanent you controlled left the battlefield this turn. And I said, yeah, that seems pretty good. And he said, pretty good? Dude, it wrecks all the fetch formats. And I went, fetch format?
Yeah.
Because in my brain, it was like, because it says left the battlefield, my brain went to not dies. And I'm thinking things getting bounced and things getting exiled. And mainly when my brain says things, it means creatures. And I was like, what do you mean fetch format? Oh my God. And it all clicked and I like twitched. I was like, oh my God.
I'm really glad they printed this at Uncommon because I could have seen this being printed at Rare.
And I think you might have been thinking of Defeat.
Defeat.
The card Defeat. Yeah, it's from something in the cons block, I think. It was one and a black, destroy target creature with power two or less. It's a sorcery.
No, that one isn't springing to mind.
No? Well, there it is. Defeat.
I mean,
it's a card.
I was thinking Smother. Like, it was very close. Converted mana cost. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the big one for Revolt that I've seen thus far. They have a few other.
The dude is totally getting Sparta kicked too.
Oh yeah.
Like, very clearly getting Sparta kicked right over the edge.
Yeah. This is not madness.
No, that's a different mechanic.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the fetch formats, this is going to be pretty sick. It doesn't get much cheaper. And in the current format, you know, we've still got like clues tokens lying around. We've got creatures to, you know, kill. We've got the ability to, we have some lands that you can crack to go get other stuff. Like there's things. There's plenty of ways that you can trigger this on your own. Never mind just the fact that, you know, things die all the time. And the fact that they made it, you know, leaves the battlefield instead of dies or, you know, goes to the graveyard from play or any of that kind of stuff opens a lot of possibilities, which I think might have actually been too generous. But we'll see how it goes in practice. I just remember the way that Thragtusk didn't specify dies, and it was a problem.
Yeah.
And we'll see, like, how well this works out.
Yeah.
I think just from looking at some of the other cards with Revolt on them, at present, we don't have quite as much Ridiculosity going on. So, like, for instance, jumping over to the Mechanics article, we've got a few other cards. We've got Decommission, which is 2 and a white for a common. Destroy target artifact or enchantment. So your basic, you know, naturalized type effect, or disenchant since it's white. And the Revolt on it is, if a permanent you controlled left the battlefield this turn, you gain 3 life. So that's just like a one-off thing that'll happen there. It doesn't matter if 3 permanents left, you just gain the 3 life. It doesn't stack or anything. I don't see those cards getting busted. Likewise with the Night Market Aeronaut, 3 and a black, 2/2 common, flying, whoop-de-doo. Revolt, it enters with a +1/+1 counter on it if a permanent you controlled left the battlefield this turn. So again, that's a small effect. You can't really duplicate that for any greater value like you would, like blinking Thrag Tusk and just, you know, gaining a bunch of life, popping out tokens. Like, none of that's happening. It's just something that makes this one instance of it a little bit better. You don't really get any hacks out of it. Although the Aeronaut does have the Aetherborn creature type. Was that a thing in Kaladesh that I just forgot?
I think it was, yes.
I mean, it was a thing in that they existed. It doesn't have any sort of any.
There's no mechanical thing to it, but it's no. Just, that's a thing. Okay. I'm more wondering if just like yet another weird day for the changelings when they suddenly are another thing. But yeah, so it, from the mechanics that we have in here, I don't see a whole lot that can be heavily exploited. A lot of them seem to be tied to when, if it's on a creature, they seem to be tied to when this creature enters the battlefield. So again, it's not like a triggered when something dies, this happens every time that you can exploit, so much as just like a, like so much of Magic, a variant on kicker, you know, like something extra happens. Cool. Neat. But overall, it seems pretty good. It'll be a timing thing. It'll be something to remember. And it'll be, you know, just remember it's a permanent, not just a creature.
Pretty much.
It's clean.
So then we keep going in the energy, or into energy in the mechanics article, where, yes, energy is back. Again, they say the only way to lose an energy counter is to spend it, so there aren't any sort of energy nerfs or energy disruption, which was a thing that we talked about over on the mana pool as a potential possibility.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You want to bet they have the energy cards in the packs this time?
Let's hope so.
Like from day one?
So the other new thing is called Improvise. And this is a weird little mashup of Affinity for Artifacts and Convoke.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's Convoke for Artifacts, essentially. So Improvise, because the Consulate is stealing all of the inventions that are already there, and access to Aether is sort of limited, because the Consulate is being sort of douchey about that whole situation. It's all about using what you've got, and making new weapons and items and things. So they named it Improvise. And flavorfully, that's really cool.
Yeah, I like it.
Yes.
So the way Improvise works, well, let's just read the reminder text. Improvise, parentheses. Your artifacts can help cast this spell. Each artifact you tap after you're done activating mana abilities pays for 1 generic mana. So, yeah. Like I said, it's Convoke for artifacts.
Yeah. And
why did they word it that way?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot since I first read it. And there's going to be a temptation from some folks out there, and we're going to call them, let's call them jerks. Yeah. They're going to assume that it was written this way so that they could attempt to rules lawyer you, that if you started to use Improvise before you had tapped something for its mana ability, that you couldn't go back and activate mana abilities. I don't think that's why they did this. They did it this way to attempt, I think, I have no proof of this, to prevent confusion. Let's say that I've got an artifact that taps for mana.
Yep.
If I tap it for mana, does it also reduce the cost by 1? And the answer is no.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's trying to make it so you don't try and double count your mana producing artifacts.
Right. And if someone tries to run off of that, I'm pretty confident that when we have the full, like, actual rules for how this works, it'll be a lot more clear. This is just what they fit onto a card to make it so that people who maybe don't have as firm of a rules knowledge understand it. And the people who have a more firm rules knowledge will be assumed to not be douche canoes and take advantage of this. And if they do, you should call them out. You should call them out because this is unacceptable. So
absolutely.
I'm sorry. Did you say douche canoes?
Yeah, they crew for one.
All right. Yeah.
Oh boy.
That's a thing that we have early access to, but it's not going to show up until the third set of the Kaladesh block.
Right.
which will occur 8 years hence.
Yeah,
no, there is no third set in the Kaladesh block before anyone starts going, what?
I know, I was making a cold snap joke. It was.
No, don't worry about it. It's Aether Conspiracy. it, don't worry. It just features Izzet. It'll be fine.
Right.
The only other thing to note here is that your artifacts that you tap this way can only ever essentially give you a colorless mana. They can never give you colored mana, so keep that in mind.
Well, generic mana.
Yeah, okay. Generic mana. My apologies.
Do you guys miss that diamond symbol?
No.
Not especially, no.
I didn't think so.
I mean, it's still around.
Is there any of it in this set?
I don't know. I'm sure there's something that only taps for colorless, though. Because there always is.
Yeah, I'm looking for diamonds.
Dude, this other improvised card here, the Foundry Assembler, a 5-mana 3/3 common with improvise, but it's got the creature type Assembly Worker. Whoa!
Hey, that's relevant.
Hey, that is relevant.
That's now a robot.
Your Mistress Factories and your Urza's... Is it Urza's Factory?
And your rock and roll music.
And your Assembly Workers, they all have another friend.
Oh, yeah. Assembly Worker Tribal.
Oh, yeah. And then there are, of course, vehicles are back.
Vroom, vroom.
Exactly, because...
It'd be weird if they left.
And it would be really weird if they left. I mean, I guess the consulate could have issued an edict.
Like Tezzeret's impound lot?
Yeah, exactly. but the one that they've shown off here is a trip. It's a 1-mana 7/11. No, not that one. A 1-mana 7-power 11 toughness. Uncommon artifact vehicle called the Consulate Dreadnought.
Vroom vroom.
But it crews for 6.
Vroom. That's not as good.
Yeah, but there are ways around crew costs, so, you know, it could be fun.
I mean, it cost one. You know, exactly. You're fine. You're fine. It'll be great. This is one of those things that we're looking at right now, and we're like, yeah, but like 6 power worth of dudes. It's like, yeah, but you remember that time at the last pre-release when you were completely run over by someone who was essentially cheating their way up the curve by just tapping those things as they cast them? That'll still happen here. And it only cost them one.
The pain train!
It was more of the pain barge.
Yeah, it kind of was, yeah. So there you go. There are your mechanics. Again, they've backed off. There's not 15 or 8 mechanics. You've got vehicles and energy returning, and you've got improvise and revolt are new. Nice and simple. They dropped, I already forgot what it's called. Fabricate, because
yeah,
there's really not much else you could do with that, so that's fine.
Yeah, which is the most droppable mechanic of the set.
Well, yeah. So I like it. I think this will be nifty.
I appreciate them not going as crazy as they used to and only adding 2 mechanics to the mix. They said they were going to be better about not hitting us with mechanics like crazy, and they're living up to that.
Yeah, besides, energy is so bizarre that it's better that they don't.
Yeah, energy changes the flow of the game enough as it is.
Yeah. So there you go. Now, ordinarily we would take some time and like poke at some of the cards that have been previewed. I guess we still can.
I mean, there's not much else going on. You what?
What about SRAM Senior Edificer? What do you guys think of him?
That would have been the one that I would talk about if I picked one.
Yeah, because he seems to be kind of nuts.
He's a dwarf.
Yeah, he is.
A dwarf advisor.
Ooh, because of his class, see?
He's a dwarf advisor enchantress.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of.
Yeah.
So what's he do then there, Squee?
Tram senior edificer, one in a white tutu, so hate bears. Legendary creature, dwarf advisor. Whenever you cast an aura, equipment, or vehicle spell, draw a card.
Ooh.
So note that it's aura, not enchantment. And it's equipment or vehicle, not artifact.
Yes.
These are specific types.
People are going to screw that up.
Very likely.
Yes.
That said, realistically, whatever deck you're probably going to run Stram in is going to be taking total advantage of this. And this will get out of hand pretty quickly.
Yes. I also just saw Sram's expertise next to it, and oh my god, I called it.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and read it then.
Well, I didn't call the Sram's expertise itself, but it costs, two white for a rare sorcery, and you create three servos.
Sure.
And then, you may cast a card with converted mana cost three or less from your hand without paying its mana cost. When we were talking about Yeheni's expertise, over on the mana pool, I said, someone was like, why does Black have this ability to cast a thing for free? That's not even a thing Black does. And I said, I wonder if there will be a cycle of such and such's expertise that do this. And damn if there isn't. Look at that. Holy crap. I feel brilliant now.
Nice.
The card itself is whatever, you know, 4 mana for 3 servos, meh. But you get a free spell. Or creature. I guess creatures are spells when you cast them. So you get a free spell and 3 servos for 4 mana. That seems pretty okay.
So you know what I just remembered?
No.
So you know how Revolt is all about that, you know, of a permanent left battlefield this turn?
Yes.
We still have little Eldrazi tokens that can die on demand.
Hey, we do.
So you can crack those to pay for the spell that you've now revolted.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
What else do we have here? Clues, you got anything neat?
Well, the one that I really want to talk about hasn't been officially previewed yet, so I don't think I can talk about it.
Are you sure it hasn't?
I'm pretty sure it hasn't.
Oh, okay.
It is... Here, I'll paste a unofficial link to you guys in the chat and tell me if that's popped up somewhere official yet.
Heathen.
I've
seen this a lot, but I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, never mind.
That's kind of the downer of people posting things on Twitter without saying where they came from all the time.
Hint, hint, please put a source just so we can talk about it.
Because if you tell us, oh, this is on the Wizards website, you know, down the rabbit hole, that's fine. I don't care how hard it is for you to get there. Just link it.
Yeah.
All right, well.
There's also... Oh, go ahead.
So, Chewie, I want you to read the first red card in the spoiler.
Of course. I have been tagged on this one multiple times already. And I don't get it. I'm not even a big dragon fan all that much. So,
but you love regents.
It's a 4/4 dragon... For 4 red. It's rare. It has improvise, so, you know, you can tap your artifacts to cast a dragon. That's cool. It has flying, and, it has the ability to pay 1 and a red to give it +2/+0 until end of turn. So it's a not quite double fire breathing thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, 4/4 flyer that can fire breathe, that you can make cheaper with artifacts. You know, it's whatever. It's
sure.
Fine.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why people keep wanting to send it to me.
Probably because it has tiger stripes.
Oh yeah, tiger stripes. I do like the look of tiger stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neat. Oh, I suppose I should read the name of the card, huh?
Yeah, maybe.
It's called the Free Jam Regent.
Yeah, delicious.
I think I might have figured it out.
That is a good price to pay for jam.
I do like jam. Obviously. So yes, thank you to everyone who has sent this to me. Just so I'll say it. And jam! Free jam! And free jam, as we all know, is best jam.
It's the best kind of jam, yes.
Yeah. So, hey, Clues, I hear you have good news.
Yeah, I did a little bit of digging, and I found where this card that I wanted to talk about came from, and it came from Trick's Twitter feed, which is official, and it means we can totally talk about it, and that is Planar Bridge. Planar Bridge, it is a legendary artifact. It's mythic. It will cost you 6 generic mana, and it has the following, in addition to being able to tap for improvise, it has the following ability, 8 generic mana and a tap. Search your library for a permanent card, put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. Go get a thing. Whatever thing it is. No restrictions. Is it a thing that will stay on the battlefield? Go and get it.
Woohoo! You can go get Tibbled for 4 times his original price.
Totally do that. So I wanted to bring, oh, by the way, it does have some flavor text from Tezzeret, which says, it is finished. Now the real work can begin. I bring this card up not because I think it's going to be totally busticated in any format where you can generate more mana than you ought to. I'm looking at you, Legacy and Commander. But I bring it up because this has really weird flavor ramifications.
Yes, it does.
So way back in the day, before the mending, it was possible, according to official magic fiction in some of the novels that are almost worth reading, it was possible to open up a portal between planes and move people there, even if they weren't planeswalkers. You didn't have to planeswalk between planes. There were mechanisms that you could use to do this.
Like the planar portal, for instance.
Like the planar portal. But I believe, since the mending, no such device has existed. Until now.
Da, 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 da.
And now it does.
Yeah, they have a Stargate.
And there are Phyrexians out there.
There are.
And that makes
And they're bad.
Very, very uneasy. Because I don't like the Phyrexians.
Yeah, you can't have them near the microwave. It does not work. Problems.
So there you go. That's the Stargate. That's the one that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, and
that's pretty awesome.
Just because you read out the text, like, keep in mind that this is put it on the battlefield. It's not cast.
Nope.
Anything that triggers on it being cast doesn't happen. Likewise, because you're putting it on the battlefield, you can get around weird restrictions, like things that have costs that you don't want to pay,
yep.
Or things that don't have costs and you still want them on the battlefield.
And you didn't have to pay any particular color of mana to do this.
Yeah. And things that trigger from these things coming on the battlefield will trigger. So it's very likely that someone in your commander deck or group will put out something that will untap everything that you have, and then they'll do it again.
Oh, God, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Always breaking your artifact hate. And if you're mono black, sucks for you.
Oh, I like playing mono black. Well, it sucks to be me.
A little bit. But hey.
There's another neat card here that my buddy Will mentioned to me earlier. The Green Belt Rampager. He said, have you seen the 1-mana 3/4? And it's a good thing I wasn't drinking something, because there would have been a spit take. I was like, what? And it's a 1-mana 3/4 that says, when Green Belt Rampager enters the battlefield, you pay 2 energy. If you can't, return Green Belt Rampager to its owner's hand, and you get 1 energy. So they have found a way to balance it being a 1-mana 3/4, so that you can't actually just play it on turn 1 and go, ha-ha!
It's got some interesting ramifications, too. It's not an if you don't, it's an if you can't.
Oh.
So, presumably,
oh.
If you have the 2 energy, you have to.
Yes.
Which is what prevents this from being green, get an energy, green, get an energy, green, get an energy.
Yeah, and it's, because it says when it enters the battlefield, pay 2 energy, not you may pay 2 energy, and if you don't,
right.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
So just keep that in mind when someone tries to start energy farming against you. Not that that's an efficient way to gain energy, but it will be relevant sometimes.
Yes.
Also, it is an elephant, which is pretty awesome.
Yay.
Look at it. It's all like 3/4 for 1. It's not even blue.
Oh, man. Did you guys see the vehicle that drives vehicles?
No, I did not.
It's in the card image gallery right now. The Peacewalker Colossus. It has remote start.
That's a Metal Gear, vehicles. Right?
It sort of is, yeah. It's a 3-mana 6/6 vehicle that's rare, that crews for 4, but it has the ability, pay 1 and a white, another target vehicle you control becomes an artifact creature until end of turn. It's remote start. It can point and go, wake up, and the car will go, and now you've got a car that's running.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. I don't know how useful it is. I don't care. It's really cool.
Well, if you have 2 of them out, they can start each other.
That's very true. And they can start up the 7/11.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice way to work around the vehicle drawback of essentially using up cards in play, or using up, you know, potential creatures in play to do that. Because this one doesn't say you can only do it once a turn, so when you get to like turn 5 or so, you just, you know, start up 2 of your cars and run over while still holding back your other guys or attacking with them. And that's pretty great.
Yeah. It's nice when, instead of putting a dude in the car to drive the car can drive and the dude can run up with a sword, you know.
You know, it's going to be pretty funny when it starts a vehicle and then you tap that vehicle to start it.
Because sometimes, you know, you just want a 6/6. Also, I really like that they didn't make it a good vehicle by itself. It's actually, compared to the others, it's kind of terrible. Because its ability is kind of busted. It has the potential to be completely busted. So if it was also a really good card,
yeah,
there'd be a problem.
Yeah, maybe if I'd played more of Kaladesh, I'd have a better idea of what's balanced when it comes to vehicles. From my limited play experience, vehicles can be good, but they can also completely sit there and, like, you know, roll over and cause you to die. This one seems like, if it were just, you know, 3-mana, make a 6/6 by tapping, like, you know, 2 of your guys, that's terrible. But, you know, with this, as you start activating this other stuff, you've always got the option, in a pinch, just leave it back as your blocker and have a much better blocking option depending on how many things they're attacking with.
Yeah.
So, like, if they're attacking with 1, you know, like 4/4, and you've got a pair of 2/2s and you don't want to trade, well, cool, well, I'm blocking with a 6/6. That's fine.
And then right next to it is the Metallic Mimic. That's neat.
It's weird.
Yeah. It's a 2/1 for 2 artifact shapeshifter creature. Artifact creature shapeshifter, I should say. As it enters the battlefield, you choose a creature type. It is the chosen type, in addition to its other types. And each other creature you control with the chosen type enters the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter on it. So, can you choose Servo? That's a creature type on tokens. Can you choose a token type?
I mean, is
for
it...
for this?
It's a creature type, isn't it?
I think so.
Let me look at a Servo. Artifact creature Servo. Yeah, Servo's a creature type.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if types that only exist on tokens count. Because I don't think there are any paper.
I think they only exist on tokens. But, I mean, it's still a creature type.
Wait a minute. What if
I otherwise, the creature type wouldn't work.
Tokens. Type in Servo and then search. I get nothing. Well, of course, there's nothing, idiot. There aren't any. I don't know why I went to Gatherer.
Servo is, in fact, a creature type. I was looking it up in the comp rules.
Okay, good.
And so I guess while we're rambling on about neat cards, do you want to talk about Gonti's Aetherheart?
That's a
So
I don't like the art. It's sort of
The art's too busy.
Ew! Stop it! I can't tell.
Yeah, the art looks a little too busy for me. But Gonti's Aetherheart, 6, you know, generic mana for a legendary artifact, mythic rare, so you know it's gonna do something special. Whenever Gonti's Aetherheart or another artifact enters the battlefield under your control, you get 2 energy counters. Okay. Pay 8 energy counters. Yeah. Excel Gonti's Aetherheart, take an extra turn after this one. So this is one of those, a lot of effort goes into taking an extra turn. Bearing in mind, it exiles itself before you take the extra turn. That's part of the cost. So you're not gonna, you know, presumably cheaty face this and do any kind of infinite loop because you've created a crap load of mana or anything. But this is our way of getting extra turns this set. So what do you think?
I think to pay an extra turn, you don't have to pay any mana. So that means you get two actual full turns to do a thing.
Yeah, because normally the problem with spending your five or six or whatever mana, usually blue, is that, great, you've spent your whole turn to untap. I hope you had something awesome going on the board. But in the case of this one, if you've got the energy lying around, you can just sit there. Like, it doesn't even say you have to use it on your own turn. Like, you can wait till the end of an opponent's turn and just let them sit there and think about how much they want to tap out ever. Because if they get to the end of a turn where they've decided to attack and that attack doesn't kill you, they left themselves open for two full turns of swinging. Or a turn of swinging, and then you can hold up a really good defensive position after that. And this doesn't, you know, require you to sit back and have all of your counter magic open or anything. You can just do it. It's just an ability that's on the field. So I don't know if it'll be good enough, because six mana is a lot. And by the time you've dumped this thing for six mana, you might not actually have a lot of artifacts to throw out there to get the rest of the effect. But on the same note, by the time you've dumped six mana into this, you've probably already got a decent amount of energy out on the field, if that's the goal of your deck. So it could very much become the case of, and then, you know, I drop this and immediately have all the mana on board and no additional cost needed. And, you know, you just sort of stare at them and it's like, when do I feel like taking two turns? It'll be interesting to see if that goes anywhere.
And if nothing else, then of course, Commander players are going to love it.
Yeah.
Or hate it.
Or hate it, right. Well, I mean, it's not going to be infinite turns or anything like that, so it's not going to be too unreasonable. And it's exiling, so you're not going to, like, dig it out of your graveyard and do some dumb crap with it. But it is something that, you know, it pays to be aware of. This might be one of those things that you, you know, go and fetch with your ridiculous other artifacts that let you go get things and drop them on the battlefield. You really want to ruin someone's day.
So you mentioned the Rhino train earlier.
Yeah.
And it's the third train that I've seen, because there were two in Kaladesh.
Yeah, that was like the pain train and the express train.
Yeah, I can't remember what I called the little one at the pre-release.
It was the little engine that could, wasn't it?
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, it's the pain train and the little engine that could. Right. And now we have the, I guess, the Rhino train, or I don't know. It's terrifying. It's the untethered express.
It's Siege Rhino train.
It is. It's Raging Ravine train. Ooh. Is what it is. It's a 4-mana, 4/4 vehicle that's uncommon with trample. And whenever Untethered Express attacks, you put a +1/+1 counter on it, like Raging Ravine. Remember that land that?
Oh yeah.
It was a land, so you played it for free, but it cost, what was it, 4 mana or 5 mana to turn on?
Something like that.
What did Raging Ravine cost? Gatherer. I don't want to screw this. Raging River. Yeah, that's the one. Raging Ravine cost 2, a red and a green to turn on. And it became a 3/3 that got a +1/+1 counter on it when it attacked. So this is a 4 mana, so it's not a land, so you gotta pay 4. 4/4 with trample that gets bigger when it attacks. But the real, nutsy thing is, it has crew 1.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. You really just need the conductor to drive the train.
Yeah, basically anybody can get a license.
I don't even think this is a conductor. I think you just throw a brick on the pedal. And yes, I know the train doesn't have a pedal, but that's pretty much what's happening. Cause this is actually the crazy train. That's what it is.
Cause it's gone off the rails.
Right. It's the crazy train. So.
God.
Ask your parents.
Oh no, if you watch sports, then you've heard the song a million, yeah. million times.
That's entirely true. But yeah, this is the crazy train. It's the Rhino train. Any of those, you know, pilots who have special things for when they crew things can crew this, obviously. I think it's a good size. Like, it's a 4/4, but realistically, if you're doing any nonsense to attack with it the turn you play it, it's swinging as a 5/5 trampler. And if it survives.
It swings as a 5/5 trampler
the first time it attacks, yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, if you're piloting it out super fast, You're
oh, if like you put a Speedway Maniac, right? What's he called? Speedway, the one that gives haste.
Right. If you're doing that, then you're attacking with a 5/5 on the turn you cast it with trample. And if it survives, it's only getting worse.
And this thing's only an uncommon, so this thing's gonna come up in limited.
Yeah, I'm really hoping to have one of these at least in my sealed pool, because damn.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
I like
it. I mean, I'm not throwing this in the realm of constructed, but for limited, it's going to wreck phase.
All the phase.
With a rhino.
It's going off the rails.
It's a rhino train. Alright, I think we probably had enough fun with this. Go listen to the Mana Pool if you want to hear card by card.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all of these and more when we record on Thursday.
We wouldn't normally do that in this show, but what else are we going to talk about?
Yeah, like nothing's going on and these are really neat. Yeah. So.
Cool.
Cool.
All right. Clues, you good?
Yeah, all good.
Okay, just checking. In other news, the Aether Revolt trailer is up. We watched it before the show.
Yeah.
And it's really cool up until the last few seconds. And this like really bothered me. So much so that I'm bringing it up again.
Yeah, so for the bulk of the trailer, you obviously know with the name Aether Revolt that we're probably going to be looking at, you know, a big, you know, like menacing authority figure and a rebellion that strikes out against it. In this case, you've got Tezzeret, who is pretty much running the very authoritarian style government against all of the like more free will, like we're going to build what we want when we want to people led by Chandra Nalar in an uprising. And so you get this giant buildup the whole time. You see like the consulate or whoever are going around and they're rounding up people and they're cutting them off from their resources. And this is terrible. And Chandra gets super angry and fires everybody up. And it's done really well through animation.
She's given the big, like, do you feel safe? You know, speech to everyone, and her voice is reverberating because apparently she's up real high and being amplified somehow. And it's really, and then like there's the speaker, the guy that, you know, please stay calm. And Chandra's talking over him. Do you feel safe? And it's really awesome. And then, you know, Tezzeret's like, that's enough. Stop these people. And he's like, oh my God, it's amazing. And then Chandra jumps down and sets things on fire. And you're like, oh my God, this is sweet. And then at the very end, the animation is like really awkward.
So normally in these things, they take like a still image of a card and they do some baseline flash tricks where they make it look like it's animated and moving and stuff. And for the most part, over time, we've accepted that they don't do a whole lot with it, but they do. And this one, there's a lot more animation than we normally see, I think. I think this is probably some of the most individual animation we've gotten out of any of these. It's not just like we've taken them and we've moved their arms and legs a little bit. No, like they're not paper dolls. They're actually animating. And then Chandra shows up and you're like, okay, well, what's she going to do? And then she proceeds to start moving her arms around like she's going to totally do something awesome, you know, Avatar Last Airbender stuff. But instead you get what looks like a rendering on a PlayStation.
You get, it's like this one really awkward, slow-moving fireball that's sort of out from her hand.
It's like you showed up to get Avatar The Last Airbender, and what you got was The Last Airbender.
Oh, now I'm sad.
Yeah. Now, mind you, I really like this direction, and I like the fact that they're doing more with animation. I don't want to, you know, say that that's bad. This is really cool, and this is one of the better build-up and hyping videos. But,
and that's why the last few seconds takes me out of it so much, is because the rest of it was so well done and so awesome. And then it's like, shmash, says the fireball. And her whole, she's delivering, like, the final line before it goes, shh, and pops up, either revolt coming in whenever, all of that, you know. And it's just like, wah, wah.
Yeah, this should be your Today We Celebrate Our Independence Day speech. But instead of Bill Pullman, like, getting everyone all riled up and cheering and stuff, Bill Pullman decides to go get a Coke. it doesn't really work. You see the man awkwardly putting quarters in the vending machine. it's not the best. And so that's very unfortunate because the whole thing in the lead up, like, I like seeing, you know, the banners are being unfurled and stuff, and you can see that lines are being, you know, drawn, that you've got people being like bound, you've got like the shock troops coming in to arrest people, and then you've got like fire and burning and people cutting through things, and like everything is really building nicely.
Oh man, and when Tezzeret came out, I actually said out loud, uh-oh, like I was like, oh, jam, here it comes. And Again, we're not throwing off on it. It's awesome. I just really wish that they hadn't stumbled there at the very end.
Yeah, you know, the kind of motion comic animation style that they've chosen to go with for these, when it first happened, the motion was all very small and very subtle. And now they're trying to make it a little more like an actual cartoon, like it's actually animated, but they're still sticking with the motion comic style. And I think we're finally hitting the limits of what you can do with that medium. Where it really stuck out for me, even before that, was with the shock troops who were coming off of the like copter where they were stepping down the ramp. And right. I kept waiting for it to cut away because I only expected them to take like one or two steps, but like five guys come off that thing before it cuts away.
And they aren't even bringing you burgers.
That just looked weird. Mm. So.
Yeah, it was a little strange. The very, very beginning when they've got the shields moving towards you like riot police was also a little off, but for the most part, it was really good. I don't know. I'd like to see them do more with these things in the future. It's pretty cool.
And yeah, that's what I was leading to. I like that they do these. I find them interesting and entertaining, but I'd also really like to see them.
It introduced me to my horse. You remember when it was my horse? I was like, that horse is amazing. Like, I agree with Clues. I love that they do these because they're so neat. So don't think that we're trashing on them or anything. Please.
Go see it for yourself. Let's say that.
Wizards, keep doing these. Keep getting better. Keep improving.
Though I will give you one note. The bit at the end, aside from all the stuff that we're making fun of, if you're going to have the character speaking and put them on screen at once, you're going to have to actually make it look like their mouth is moving. It's sort of weird. Like, she's blatantly addressing us from on high, and you're going all in on the audio effect of it sounding like she's going to jump down and deliver this, you know, riveting thing. But then when she appears, like, she's just got that, you know, the picture of her face from the card art, obviously. And so it's this strange, you still hear it coming from her, but you're actually hearing it from her ventriloquist.
Weren't there some, like, hints of mouth flaps going on there?
I didn't see it, but
it's possible that I just inserted it so that it didn't look weird in my brain.
It might also be something that I look for because I've edited, you know, lip syncing before. So maybe not. Maybe I'm just ruining it for everybody. But it was something that I noticed. So if you're going to do more stuff of them very directly addressing the camera, you might want to consider if it's at all possible. But hey, trailer's pretty cool.
Yeah. Also in other news, the Vintage Super League is going on literally right now.
Like this very moment?
Like right, yeah, it's very, well, I don't know, it might be over by now.
By the time you're listening to it.
Yeah, but that means that the VODs will be on, hang on, no, Randy Bueller and Oliver 2 are talking. New episodes Tuesdays at 5 PM on twitch.tv/magic, that's why.
Uh-huh.
It's going on right now.
There you go.
Cause, you know, we're recording on a Tuesday.
Tuesday night.
So there you go. If you can handle actually watching, Magic Online, which I cannot, and if you're at all interested in Vintage, this is season 6. It's been going for a while now, but by all means, go check it out.
And as always,
Vintage.
Close the Twitch chat.
Yes. There are rare instances where you want that Twitch chat open.
Like on my stream.
I was going to get to that later, but yes, like on your stream.
Because we're still small enough to where we haven't attracted the douchebags. Except for that one, but I banned his ass. But
yeah.
So there is one more bit of news here from the Judge community.
Shit, is that my cue? Should I take it away?
I guess there are two bits of news from the Judge community. So I'll take the first one. So it turns out that CJ... Oh...
Schrader, not Sneeze.
CJ Sneeze.
Like the worst rapper ever.
Wow, that. Whew, sorry about that. Okay, so yeah, CJ Schrader is leaving Judge Cast. So if you are a fan of the Judge Cast, then you knew this already. And if you're not a fan of the Judge Cast, then you don't care. So I don't know why I bothered to say it, but anytime one of our fellow podcasters decides to pack it in, especially after so long, I always feel the need to mention it, or at least I should. Sometimes I'm not aware of it at the time, but I just found out about this earlier today. So
sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he's leaving Judge Cast. He's leaving judging, and he's leaving Magic entirely.
He is. We wish him well.
We do.
I understand his decision, but he will be missed.
Yeah.
Although, maybe again, someday he will bring us.
What?
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's not like he's dying. He's just not going to be, you know, so publicly into Magic. So.
It's quite possible that someday he will bring us news of the outside world and sunlight and whether or not plants can grow.
I choose to believe that he's leaving to work on Half-Life 3.
That sounds good. So what's this other bit of judge news there?
Or perhaps something about the rabbits. Okay, so the other piece of Magic news, there was a brouhaha, a hubbub, a kerfuffle that happened back in December.
That's a good word.
That we did not actually cover on this show. There's stuff that, you know, from time to time the community grabs the pitchforks and starts a riot, and we don't say anything because we really have nothing to add. So we purposefully will, before the show, we'll look at stuff and go, do we want to talk about that? Yes, no. Do we have anything to add? No. And so sometimes we just let things go. Back in early December at GP Denver, there was a on-camera judge call that was, for lack of a better term, punted. And it was punted pretty hard. And it was appealed. And the punted call was upheld at the time, and the tournament went on, and the earth continued to spin, and the sun still rose. But still, it was a bad call.
Admittedly, we did get a sky check from you, and the sky was still there at the time.
It was, absolutely, at the time.
I would also like to point out, this was after the U.S. election, and the sun still managed to come up. So.
It did, somehow.
Admittedly, it did come up at a different time.
Mostly because the sun. Oh, by the way, how'd you get? Did you guys celebrate the? Well, come ask me about the solstice later.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The main reason being that the sun is there all the time. We just rotate to face it. It's fine. So anyway.
Yeah.
Permanent.
Then, man, that reminds me of the movie The Core. No, never mind. Look, so
yeah, you forget that.
God, I wish I could.
Please
I wish
forget that.
I could. It is etched into my brain. Sadly. The crux of the call was, there was a triggered ability that was going to happen and somebody wanted to respond before the triggered ability. And it was ruled that no, they couldn't. It was too late, but no, they should have been able to. Like, it doesn't really matter for the purposes of the discussion we're about to have. It really doesn't matter what the actual call was. The point is the floor judge who took the call on camera got it wrong. The player who recognized that it was wrong appealed. And so the appeals judge came over, and that appeals judge happened to be former L5, because we don't have L5s anymore, L3s as high as they go, Scott Marshall. And he also punted the call. The real key here is that this happens sometimes. It's very, very rare that you'll have, you know, the appeals judge also screw something up, but judges are human. Let's just start right there. Number one, judges are human. Number two, judges are volunteering their time to do what they do. So, let's not burn them at the stake, you know, for every little thing. They try their best. They really do. But every now and then something will slip through the cracks. But why we bring it up now? Scott Marshall has gone what I would consider the extra mile and is now publicly apologizing for the mistake and apologizing directly to Shahar Shenhar, who is the person whose call was punted. Which I think really, really takes a lot. We all have a tendency as human beings to try and avoid, I don't want to say avoid fessing up, but whenever there's something that we screwed up, we try not to revisit it if at all possible and just leave it behind because you don't want to dwell. But he's taken the time to go, no, look, I did this. I screwed up. I'm learning from that screw up and you should all learn from it too. And so, there you go. Now, an argument has been made on the internet. Well, lots of arguments have been made on the internet involving this particular one that, hey, shouldn't he have looked this up? Because the correct ruling was known at the time. And if he'd taken the time to pull out his smartphone and go look up the card in question, it would just tell him right there, hey, this is how this works. Yeah, that probably should have happened. But he didn't look it up on his phone, and he didn't because it was a camera match and he was trying to keep things moving. When you're judging, you have a lot of things pulling you in many directions. You have a lot of things that you're trying to, give attention to. You know, you always want to deliver the correct ruling, yes, but you also always want to deliver the correct ruling in a timely fashion. So there's always this time factor that's there. In particular, there's got to be a ton of stress. And, you know, I've had this come up when I've had judged events and there have been appeals. By the time it gets to you as an appeal, the players have already been paused for probably a couple of minutes before you even arrive. And so there is pressure on you to resolve the situation as quickly as possible so that they can get back to playing so that you don't hold up the rest of the tournament. So, you know, I see where he's coming from with that. And I see where that pressure would be a factor, but as he says in his apology, that's not really good enough. We do have a responsibility to go ahead and make sure that it is correct. And if there's any doubt in our mind, yes, we should look it up or even talk to another judge. That's perfectly fine. For the judges out there, I will tell you that if you're at a table and you don't quite know the correct answer, there's a tendency, particularly with newer judges, to just give an answer and just seem completely 100% certain, deliver even the wrong answer with certainty. And I've never really liked that sort of thing. I really suggest, and I've always, mentored judges to believe that if you're unsure, there is absolutely nothing wrong with telling the players, look, I think I know how this interaction works, but I want to make sure I have it correct. I'm going to just go talk to this other judge over here and I'm going to make sure that I have it correct before I give you this ruling. And usually the players are completely fine with that. In my experience, they would rather wait an extra 20 or 30 seconds than to have to, you know, fix the mess later. But we're only human. We make mistakes. When we make mistakes, it's important for us to apologize. And he has done so in a very, very public way. And I want to say hats off to him for that.
Scott Marshall, you guys might remember, was the judge that I interviewed to explain what the hell happened at Grand Prix Charlotte.
Silly Walter.
Yeah. And yeah, Scott Marshall's pretty awesome, but not even specifically this instance. Just remember, you know, judges are people, and people make mistakes, and it sucks. And if this had this happened to, you know, oh, let's say Dr. Jeebus, he would have ranted about it on the internet. And a couple people would have been like, that sucks. And it had been over because that's what happens to poor Jeebs. Like, terrible things happen to him and he rants about it and no one cares. But it happened to Shahar Shenhar, who is a very high profile player.
On camera.
And people love Shahar Shenhar.
Now, bearing in mind, so, this is only really something that would likely happen because it was on camera as well. Like, mistakes are made, but when you put things on stream or on camera, you're acknowledging that there may occasionally be concessions to that in the interest of moving it along. And it's not saying that it should be, but it's the natural case of it. So sucks, something we acknowledge. And as always, even if the ruling is wrong, if that's what the judge says, that's what the judge says. And that's the rule.
Yep.
And we gotta go with it because otherwise the game doesn't work.
It's true. So for God's sake, people, don't get out your torches and pitchforks because a player that you like had a bad call. It happens. If you watch the NFL, you know that it happens. And you know what? There's equally as much as you can do about it. So everybody shut up. Chill.
And people have been hating the umpire since baseball began.
Yep.
But yeah, like 8,000 years ago or roughly however old baseball is.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, the umpire calls them like they see them. So we got to roll with it.
Yep. So there you go. And now, Magic Online news.
Sure. All right. So as usual, I'll let you know that Magic Online news is posted on Tuesdays. And as this is Tuesday Night Magic, nah. I would normally tell you that we've actually got current news and that it's great, but they didn't post anything today. So they also haven't posted anything in a while. Because of the holidays, so there really isn't any Magic Online news per se. The one thing I can tell you is that, as I mentioned last time, they're replacing the Year of Modern that we did in 2016 with a series of events, namely based around gauntlets and flashback favorites of your favorite draft format. So starting on January 4th, which is, you know, probably about the time you're listening to this, with that downtime, they're going to be doing triple Zendikar draft. So you can go check that out super fast. I won't go too much into depth on that because we just talked about it for Europe Modern. But if you would like to play super aggro Magic, this is a great chance to do it. Vampire Nighthawk, still BS.
Complete and total.
All the way through. Way too good. Pretty awesome. And that's your Magic Online news. Enjoy.
Yay.
Magic Online news, Vampire Nighthawk, still good. Moving on.
Who'd have thunk it?
You think that's bad? Okay. They might post something, you know, later this week, but if they don't, there will be no Magic Online news next week either. So.
Nice.
We'll see.
And let's not forget, everyone, that next week we have Grand Prix Louisville, one of the rare Legacy Grand Prix.
Which you can watch online nowhere.
Yeah, which, so of course, there's no coverage. Instead, they're televising or streaming, I guess would be the proper word. The Super Sunday Series Championship.
I would love to give my comments on Wizards' decision to not give us any streaming coverage of basically the only Legacy event that we're going to see anytime soon, but I can't because there's no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
Stay tuned for the odds and ends if you are one of my patrons.
Yep.
Well then, gentlemen, shall we wrap it up?
Sure.
I suppose we shall.
So you can follow me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There is no Iron Goblin because it's hiding where all the other news is hiding, so I have no idea where it's at. You can also hear me on the Bad Reviews Against Humanity most recent episode, which I think how recently did that go up, Chewy? Like, within the last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
Cool.
It went up
While he looks at it, I know it's live. Like, I was tagged on it while I was out of town on Twitter. So,
it was posted 4 days ago.
Cool. So, like, New Year's Eve or something. So, essentially, Bad Reviews Against Humanity is something that's put together by the School of Movies, a podcast, and other guests, including Chewy and myself. And we essentially sit around and for a few hours read absolutely ridiculous nonsense from the internet and laugh a whole lot, and it gets infectious. It's rapid fire comedy. We've done it once before. Like, Chewy, you've been on the show in a few other contexts as well. I've only done it once. The one that I did a year ago killed a celebrity, so I tried to avoid doing impersonations this time. But I would definitely recommend it if you want something to laugh at. Don't listen to it at work. You'll get in trouble. I'm sure I can find a link and drop it in the show notes.
I hope so, because I'm not finding it on their website.
All right, well, I'll look for it. Clues can go ahead and start talking.
All right, hey, if you want to hear more from me, you can find me on the Random Discard podcast found right here on the MTGcast Network. The holiday season is rough for us for recording, so we went through a little dry spell there, but we are starting back up for the new year. So look for a new episode coming out later this week about, let's see, now I think that episode that we've got in the can was about TV shows, strangely enough. But it's something Rich wanted to talk about, so we totally talked about it. If you want to reach me, your best bet is the Twitters. I am at LockLuze, spelled just like it is in ye oldie show notes.
All right, then. That was quick.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, what else have I got to say? I'm trying to keep it upbeat. So, talking about happy things. Oh, hey, we could talk about the solstice. Did you guys celebrate the solstice?
I stayed inside when it was dark.
Why not? I mean, it's the most important holiday of the year is the winter solstice.
I don't know. I'm a pretty big fan of the summer solstice. I believe it when the sun goes down late.
I believe this year it happened at about 6 in the morning Eastern time on the 21st, I think. I was on a ship at the time, but I celebrated as best I could. And then we had Christmas, which, by the way, that's why Christmas is where it is. More on that someday. And then we had New Year's, which actually has absolutely, as Neil deGrasse Tyson reminded us, has no astronomical significance whatsoever. We really should start the year on the winter solstice, but.
But New Year's Eve, we gave an extra second, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Time travel.
2016 hadn't taken enough from us. It had to take another second.
It took another second and another day. Leap years
now
returns.
I'm sad again.
Yeah. So Chewy, talk happy.
Okay. Well, Clues complains that my outros are too long, but this one's going to be even longer. Clues,
all right. So it's cool. You do what you gotta.
I did a good thing. Capital good, capital thing.
GT.
A few days ago. Yes.
He's not wrong. He did.
I did. Yeah. Clues was there for some.
I was.
So I had to start off kind of dark. I had two of the most miserable days, possibly definitely of the year, possibly of my life, in a row for various reasons that I won't go into on this show. The outpouring of support from you guys who follow me on social media was brilliant, and I love you so much. But due to that, I decided to do something good for my fellow nerds, and I did a charity stream over on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/themanapool, to help out an organization called Take This, who are fighting the good fight against mental illness and the stigma of mental illness in the gaming community. But you know what that really means is the nerd community. And I decided to do a charity live stream for them because their annual, or second annual as far as I know, it's dangerous to stream alone, so let's stream together, campaign happened. And I signed up and set a modest goal of $250 because I'd never done a charity live stream before and had no idea how it would go. And due to how close to home, let's say, the topic at hand of, you know, the struggle against the darkness and depression and anxiety and all of that in the nerd community is, within the first hour, we had already smashed the initial goal of $250. A few hours in, we were sitting at like 480, thereabouts, and I agreed to a thing.
Crazy promises were made.
I said, yes, if we hit $1,000, then yes, I will stream myself, being guided by my buddy Jacob, playing from level 1 to level 20 in World of Warcraft for your amusement, if we hit $1,000. And I said, mind you, we were at something like 480 at this point, whatever. At my initial end time, I started at 3 p.m., at my initial end time of midnight, we were sitting at like 850, and I said, screw it, we're not done yet. And we went for an hour of overtime. And during this time, I was playing games that were gifts from fans and friends that were sent to me as a show of support. You know, we believe in you, here, play this game. And I figured, what better way to show support for the nerd community on the whole than to play these games to help them? And so we did an hour of overtime, and in that hour, we raised another $150. I mean you guys raised another $150, bringing our grand total after 10 hours of streaming to $1,001. And I was blown away. I never expected to quadruple my initial goal. I was really afraid the initial goal was kind of high because I'm still new to Twitch. You know, I don't think I've ever broken 50 viewers at once, for God's sake. And we never did. We did this without going viral. Nobody was throwing around stupid amounts of money. The highest, donation was $65. And, it was just you guys, who were there with me, keeping me company, laughing and joking and all of that, and throwing some money at a charity that does good work, to help out our fellow nerds. And I cannot thank you all enough. In fact, going up on my YouTube channel right after we're done recording this is the very beginning of the stream where I explain what we're doing and, you know, who we're doing it for. And then the very end of the stream where, when all was said and done, I went into much greater detail about, you know, why I was doing this and all that. So, I really hope you guys will check that out. It was very open and very heartfelt. I may or may not have cried a couple times during that because this is very near and dear to my heart. I've been struggling with depression for longer than I realized, it turns out. So Yeah, and I'm lucky. I have all of you guys out there who offer up support and kind words and, you know, tell me what you do matters and all that, and I love you for it. But not everyone has a support system that's as insane as I do. So I just wanted to help out in any way I can and let everyone know that you're not alone. Like, a bunch of us struggle with this fight constantly. It's not weird. It's not weakness, and it's not something to be ashamed of. It's something to get help for. I read something somewhere in a write-up about Take This that said, you know, telling someone fighting with depression to, you know, just get over it is like telling someone who has a cold to get better by trying harder. It doesn't work that way. And unfortunately, lots of people don't understand that. So yeah, that's what all that was for. And it was brilliant. Like I said, we quadrupled my initial goal. So if they do another It's Dangerous to Stream Alone campaign next year, I'm going to spend this year growing my audience on Twitch and on YouTube, and hopefully for the podcast as well. And what we're going to do is shoot for $2,000 next year. Yeah, hell yeah. Both of my co-hosts are muted, so I'm just talking to myself.
Well, it's a good goal.
It
and
is.
And you've proven that you can get to one, so obviously you have to go for two. That's how we make a bigger difference.
I mean,
and I have to say, if anyone out there is just wondering, it was an awesome stream. It was a ton of fun. There was a lot of interaction with the chat. I think next year, Chewy, you need to get someone to come over while you're doing it, so that while you're playing, they can be interacting with the chat. Cause you did it yourself. Like, it was just you. And that is an amazing amount of effort for the amount of time you did that.
Yeah. By the time I shut off the stream at 2 a.m., we'd been going for 11 hours and I did, you know, I took a couple breaks, got up, walked around, called mom, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, the solo show was, especially the solo show the day after the two darkest days of the year. It wasn't easy, but it was for a greater cause, and it was totally worth it. Like, I was genuinely afraid I wouldn't be able to talk the next day, but it turns out I could talk just fine. So, sorry about that for anyone who's hoping that there is a way to shut me up. Turns out there's not. But, I'm actually getting better at the whole playing a game and interacting with chat, depending on the game. Like, I played a total of 6 games. Over the course of those 12 hours, or 11 hours, I played Slayaway Camp, which is a Pokemon ice puzzle game that wears the veneer of the 80s slasher movies. I played Heavy Bullets, a first-person roguelike. I played Golf With Your Friends with... Who was on Golf With Your Friends? It was Jacob and... Somebody else was in on that. Was it Scott? Was Scott around for that? I don't remember. I played some Super Hot, I played some Paint the Town Red, and I played some Rocket League with Jacob and Chris Lansdell and Andrew, a listener and guy that I met at the two Grand Prix Charlottes. And yeah, we had a lot of fun. And then at the end I got very mushy. And yeah, it was pretty awesome. And then on New Year's, I did another stream because I was alone on New Year's Eve, the one time of the year I hate to be alone on New Year's, so I decided I would stream some video games for everyone else that was alone on New Year's Eve, and we had a lot of fun there, too. We played some of the Jackbox Party Pack games that you guys can also play along with on your device.
Which, those were fun.
Those were fun. Apparently, the stuff in the Jackbox Party Packs 2 and 3 are even better. But I just stuck with one. So Clues won the game of Lyswater, that bastard.
I did, yes.
Why is there such a thing as moronic acid? What the hell?
Because morons need acid too? I don't know.
Apparently
I don't name these
so.
Things.
So yeah, if you want to check that out, please do. Like I said, it's going to be up on my YouTube channel immediately as soon as we're done recording. I'm going to start the upload because it's done. It's ready to go. I just have to put it up. I tried real hard to like downplay my own, like my Patreon and that sort of thing. When someone would bring it up, I'd be like, yeah, but that's awesome, but let's just ignore that. I was really trying to focus on, the task at hand And you guys helped. I mean, I don't have any money to give, so you guys helped so much, and I can't thank you enough. But if I keep talking about it, I'm gonna start crying again. So, yeah. There's all kinds of content going up. It's been a rough few days, so there hasn't been as much going up, but I'm getting back in the swing of things now. So, by the way, if you wanna watch, me and my Manapool co-host, Mike, play some co-op Octodad, that's over on the YouTube channel now too. He came over and we did a bunch of multiplayer games on a stream a while back. And I've been cutting out the Octodad and uploading them as Twitch highlights. And oh my god, that game is brilliant and stupid. It's brilliantly stupid. But anyway, I guess I'll shut up now. Yeah? Yeah, let's shut up now. Oh, the other thing. I did another Ask Chewy Anything. God, that was so long ago, I forgot. And I actually helped a listener propose to his girlfriend. So that was pretty cool. That was very nice. She said yes for anyone that saw it and is wondering.
Spoiler alert.
She was very excited. Yeah. She was very excited. And I want to do another Ask Chewy Anything sometime soon, so.
If you'd like to propose to someone, Chewy will hook you up.
No, I'm done with that now. That's a one-time thing. Matt got to it first. He called dibs. Sorry,
fair
y'all.
Enough.
Oh, but the thing, yeah, we broke $1,000, so I'm gonna be playing World of Warcraft on stream tomorrow night. That is Wednesday night, the 4th of January.
So do you have to make an account and everything?
Well, I mean, I've got a Battle.net account because I play Hearthstone, so.
Okay.
That's easy enough. I had to download World of Warcraft, which was 40 gigs.
Yeah, well, it's a world.
Huh.
So what you gonna be?
And so, yeah, I haven't decided yet.
You should be a cow.
Jacob claims if we play on his normal server, we have to be Horde. And as a Penny Arcade fan for like ever and ever now, I've always been taught, you know, F the Horde. But apparently we're going to be Horde. So I haven't figured out if I want to go Rogue or Hunter or what was the other one? Mage. Those are the three I'm thinking of DPS. Look at me. I sound like I know it. I've never played. I'm like the one person in the known universe who has never played World of Warcraft.
All I can tell you is more dots, more dots.
More dots. I don't know what that means.
I have never played World
People
of Warcraft.
People keep saying, have you ever played any MMO?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I played EverQuest in the 90s because I got that out of my system early. But
oh, see, I've never messed with any MMOs and never had any interest in them. But it's for charity. So,
sure.
And it's for the super sweet paladin hero Lady Liadrin in Hearthstone. That you get by leveling up a character to level 20. So, Jacob swears up and down it'll be fun. So me and, my buddy and silent benefactor Will Morenz are going to be playing World of Warcraft under the tutelage of one Jacob Janssens tomorrow night on stream. I don't know if we're going to make it all the way to level 20 tomorrow, if we're going to have to break it up and do another session later, but there you go. If you are a fan of WoW or you just want to watch me fail, then please do come watch. It's twitch.tv/themanapool. And it's for a good cause. It's because we broke $1,000 and I said I'd do it. In all honesty, I never thought we would, so I agreed to it immediately. It's what I get for doubting my watchers, my viewers, my friends, my fans. You guys out there. So, I'm gonna shut up now. After I give all the contact information. So if you want to, check out Twitch. It's twitch.tv/themanapool. If you want to check out the YouTube channel, it's youtube.com/c/themanapool. If you want to send me an email, send it to Chewy, that's C-H-E-W-I-E, at mtgcast.com or at themanapool.com, whichever, they both go to the same place. Or am I missing Twitter? If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at themanapool. And if you want to help support what I do with all of this content creation, then check out the Patreon at patreon.com/themanapool, where you can get all of the YouTube videos and all of the Manapool podcasts early. You get access, if you so choose, to the odds and ends, which is all of the behind-the-scenes stuff that is recorded before and after Monday Night Magic and the Manapool, and it's uncensored and unfiltered, and generally we're a lot more open about pretty much everything. I'll give you Clues' number if you want. If you listen to that, you can just call him up at all hours of the night.
Yeah, no, you cannot do that.
I don't even have Clues' number, so don't worry.
That's
about
okay. I've got Clues' number, but I wouldn't do that.
Bill
to
Clues, will
though.
Give you. Never mind then. They will give you my numbers. You can call me up at all hours of the night because I don't sleep. We will not give you any phone numbers, but anything else, we're very much. I do have Jack's phone number. He butt dials me all the time. But anyway, yeah, we're much more open and uncensored and whatnot, and you get to hear Clue swear, which is still the best thing ever. So yeah, all that is all that. So this has been, now that we're finally done with all that, Monday Night Magic, episode 543 here on the MTGcast Network. Whew, thanks as always to Squee and Clues for joining me.
Of course.
And thank you out there listening so very much for listening. And go play some magic.